All right, go ahead.
Hang on a second. Okay, 10-second countdown. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening and God bless you, South Texas. This is the God Family Country Radio Show on KTSA 550 on your radio dial. Since you've landed here, don't go away. Stay right there. We think you may find this program to be very informative. We're going to be talking about the difference between good and evil in this next 2 hours that we have to be with you from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. I'm in studio. My name's Lance Hoppus, and Pastor Kurt's in studio with me. We're talking about there's really two forces in the world. Only two forces. There's only two forces that are guiding your movements, your thoughts, your life. You have the force of good, which comes from God. Goodness, kindness, righteousness comes from God. God also gives us the opportunity and the ability to be able to discern truth from a lie, to be able to see the truth, where the truth is. But at the same time, it tells us in the scriptures that even his chosen will be confused in the end times. Many of his chosen will be having difficult times to discern the truth. The other force in the world is evil, the force of Satan. And we see Satan's works wherever we go. It's all around us now. Every place we turn, we see the work of Satan. We see it globally. And it's been this way since the beginning of man. But Satan has taken on a new ploy. He's taken on a new device. And that device is not necessarily new in the term of the times of the world, but it is new because we have to figure that this came about in the 1800s. It's called communism. Communism is the face of Satan himself. It's the work of Satan. His demons throughout the world pushing, practicing Satanism through communism. You know, Pastor Kurt gave me an interesting article here, and we're going to talk about this. Do you have something to say first, Pastor?
No, I just think that it's very important for us to understand that the gift that God has given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit is discernment. And discernment to be able to recognize evil and to understand what that is. And it's true for both women and men. Women tend to use it more than men do because they use it for a security mechanism. But for men, we need to also be very attentive to the discernment that God has given to us. And you were mentioning earlier that, you know, the Jesus said that many false prophets would arise and deceive many, including even the elect. I'm paraphrasing, but I've always had a problem with that, the elect, because the elect should be, they should be in their Bible. They should have a clear understanding of what the scriptures tell us so that we are prepared and that we're ready. And I know we're going to be doing that tonight, but discernment is a big, big deal. And it's time to really start paying attention more about what's going on around us.
Well, and the problem has to be recognized as a lie, as the Democrats, the left, the communists, not saying every Democrat is a communist, but the communists from the left. Their old adage is, tell a lie long enough and often enough, and it starts to become the truth in perception, right?
I mean, absolutely. That's what Nancy Pelosi, when she was Speaker of the House, she came out very clearly. We ran that tape a long time ago on the show, but she talked very much about their playbook.
Yep.
And
yep.
It was about total destruction of the enemy, which for them was the Republicans.
I have taken on and how do I understand things? How to me, I looked at we're going to move from this just for a moment, but let's take Islam. Okay. When I look at the Quran and I hear people talk about the Quran, well, it teaches in the Quran that it's okay to lie. It's okay to deceive, okay? That it's okay. That's a good thing. To break down and defeat the infidel, it's okay to lie and kill them where they are.
And I'll just clarify it. It's perfectly acceptable for them to lie as long as it's advancing Islam.
I thought that's what I said.
Well, I'm just clarifying it a little bit further.
Okay. And to kill the infidel. So then I, you know, like, okay, because the question is that the same God as our God? Well, when you read the scriptures, and if you just know nothing else other than the Ten Commandments, you know that they're not the same God. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not lie. No matter, it doesn't give an if, doesn't give a maybe, a what for. So there's the differences there. So now how do I tell the difference from the truth and the lie in communism? Well, once again, communism is always based on, guess what? Antagonism, violence, demonstrations, riots, millions of people dying through the process of communism. Now we have the situation, which Pastor Kurt's given me this article to read, comes from The Blaze. F capitalism, communist teacher brags about indoctrinating students with Marxist literature, says revolutions involve violence. Did you get that? Revolutions involve violence. And this teacher, she professes that communism should be taught in the schools. A self-described communist teacher from Maryland bragged on social media about indoctrinating her students with Marxist literature and called for a fight against capitalism. Rebecca F. Rothstein, a teacher at North Bethesda Middle School in the Montgomery School District, posted multiple controversial videos on her TikTok account, which has since been deactivated. Rothstein stated that she is proud as F to be liberal and insisted that educators should not prioritize teaching students math and science, but instead provide lessons on anti-racism and how to be kind. As a teacher, I wish I could do more with our students, like teach anti-racism and how to be kind. Does anyone else feel like we can skip the math, skip the science, like we'll do that next year? Maybe this year we focus on teaching our youth how to be anti-racist and to be kind. So what do we have here? Well, it started out at the very, very top. It says revolutions involve violence. And then she goes on with the rest of it. We have to teach anti-racism and how to be kind.
And let's clarify this again. Let's mention it again. This teacher is a middle school teacher.
Yeah.
She's from what city in
Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda. Okay. And it's interesting that how she's using the word, if you're a communist, you're anti-racist. But if you're not a communist, you're a racist.
Exactly. So, but at the same
completely backwards.
At the same time, you will hear these same people say that what we have to do is we have to break through being white. You're white. We have to get rid of your attitude as being white. We have to teach you how to be non-white. Wait a minute, folks. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm a man. I'm white. And I'm an American. And I'm Christian first and foremost. And I'm not going to apologize about a single one of those things. I am not ashamed of being white. And at the same time, I'm going to tell you, I am not racist. I know if I'm racist or not, and I'm not. And because you're white does not make you a racist. But that philosophy right there, anti-racism, when in this nation, prior to Obama becoming president of the United States, in this nation, we were probably the most anti-racist nation in the world. And who has raised the ugly head of racism? The communist philosophy, and has been perpetrated and started through the Obama administration and continues today. So communism, what is communism? How do we think about communism? Communism is Satan. Communism is nothing else but Satan. It's the works of Satan. Socialism is the precursor to communism. I'm going to read to you from a book. It's called The Scepter of Communism in the World. And I found this on Epoch News, E-P-O-C-H News.
Epic Times.
Is that how you pronounce it? Is it Epoch or Epic?
It's Epic.
Epic.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, before we do that, let's take our break. and get that out of the way, because people need to hear every word you're going to say and how important this is.
Okay.
Folks, this is the God, Family, and Country Radio Show right here on KTSA 550 AM and 107.1 FM. Tell your friends about the God, Family, and Country Radio Show, because it is informative information that is going to excel and take you hopefully to a better understanding of our Bible and really what we're up against in this world. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, 1 minute, and you can get right into it.
Okay. Getting my thoughts together here.
Good.
Yeah.
Make sure you're mentioning communism is anti-God.
Well, but that's where this goes.
Okay, here we go. Getting ready to start the second segment of the first hour. 3, 2, 1.
This is the God, Family, Country Radio Show. I'm Lance Hoppus, Pastor Kurt. We're talking about two forces at play continuously in the world. Two forces that govern your every movement, your thought, and your actions. Two forces come from, number one, from God himself, because he has put himself into the intellect of every human being the moment you're born. As we go through life, you know, a lot of us take and kick that to the curb.
Right. Paul says we exchange the truth for a lie.
We exchange the truth for a lie. God has given us the truth and the ability to discern the truth. God is the act of good in the world. The opposite of that is Satan, the works of Satan, the devil. What is it that comes from him? Death, lies, deceit, destruction. Where do we see those forces at play in the world today? You know, Pastor Kurt, through the years, I've tried to look through. It's like a veil that you look through. You know, how do you see through this veil? Where does that come? Wow, where did that come from? Whoa, where'd they come up with that from? How did that happen? Well, after reading this book, and this is just, we're going to just talk about a few articles, but hopefully in our shows coming, we're going to get into depth in it. It all comes out of communism today, and communism is the act of Satan against God. Remember, Satan rules the world. This is his domain right now, and only his domain, only until our Savior Jesus Christ comes back and plants that foot on Mount Olive. Then salvation will come and Satan will be defeated. But for now, we have to deal continually with the works of Satan. And today it's ever so prevalent in the act of communism. We can go back to the beginnings of communism, and let's look backwards at communism. What does communism do? It always brings mass death, massive death. Millions of people in Mao, China died under communism. Stalinist Russia, millions of their own people died under communism, starved to death, worked to death in the mines. Communism does not bring back equality. Communism brings back pain, heartache, torture. It brings back famine. It brings along with it war, destruction. So in communism, the one who first manifested this and brought it about to the world was Karl Marx. And it's interesting that this book, The Specter of Communism, S-P-E-C-T-E-R, Specter, is utilized as a title and is utilized throughout the book. Why would that be? Well, it is because Karl Marx used it in his opening line in the Communist the Marxist Communist Manifesto. So I'm going to read to you. I wish I could quote this to you, but it's too much. A specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism. The use of the term specter was not a whim on the part of Karl Marx. As we argue in this book, communism should not be understood. Listen to this careful, folks. Communism should not be understood as an ideological movement, a political doctrine, or a failed attempt at a new way of ordering human affairs. Instead, it should be understood as a devil, an evil specter forged by hate, degeneracy, and other elemental forces in the universe. Did you get that? Well, where do we see that? How about the decay of the morality in the United States?
The world, for that matter, but well, including but the United States.
I'm just right here. Let's just look here at home. The decay of the morality in our nation. It's okay for mothers to kill their babies. It's okay for mothers to cry out for the right to kill their babies and justify it with, but it's my female right. It's my right to control my body. It's okay for me to murder my baby because I have control of my body. It's okay for me to sacrifice my baby for my wants, for my desires. I don't want to be burdened with a baby. I don't want to be burdened with a child. I want to just be able to go and lay down and have sex with whoever I want to. Open my legs and come, let's have fun. And then I have a baby, and I don't want to have to pay the price for that. So it's my right, because I'm a woman, to kill my baby. That's called feminism, and feminism came directly out of the manifesto of communism. Drugs rampant in our nation, destroying our nation continually, because people are afraid to have to face the reality of the real world. They don't want the pain, or I just want to have a good time. I just want to have fun. I'm going to have a party. I'm going to have a good time. Do you see that continually? Homosexuality being used in our nation. Is this another lie? Of course it's another lie. Homosexuality is not okay in the eyes of God. But communism will tell you that homosexuality is a good thing for the United States. And what have we done? We have passed laws in the United States from the federal government down that it's okay for two homosexuals to marry each other. A man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. And don't worry about it. It's okay to say that there is no such thing as a woman. There's no such thing as a man. I am whatever I want to be. What do you think God is doing when he sees this and he hears this? What do you think God's attitude is about this?
The creator of heaven and earth.
The creator of all that there ever is, ever would be, and ever will be. Right? Yeah. So this is real, folks. This is reality that we're faced with. Following the Cold War, the poison of communism not only continued to harm formerly communist countries, but it also spread throughout the world. It is not a joke today, folks. This isn't something to be laughed at. And we have to wake up in America, as Christians in America, we have to wake up right now, stand up and say, oh, that's what's happening. I recognize it. And I understand that socialism is the direct pathway into communism, just like marijuana is the pathway drug into all other drugs. Cocaine, the pathway drug into heroin, into meth, all the rest of that stuff. Fentanyl. Everything that's destructive. Fentanyl, yeah. Whew. You know, they say that if you use fentanyl one time and survive it, you can't get off of it.
Well, you usually die the first time.
Yeah. So this is what we're facing, folks. These are the things that we're talking about. I can go on and on and on in this hour of this program, but before we transition into the rest of the show, where is it that we're seeing communism raise its ugly head again with a new name attached to it, a new identity attached to it, that is destroying nations throughout the world? ESG. Have you heard that term before? ESG. It stands for Environmental Social Governance. ESG. It is as evil as the day is long. ESG is pushing the new religion of the world. The new religion of the world is the world. Save the world. Protect the world. The world itself. Nothing is more important than the world. ESG, Environmental Social Governance. Because of ESG, you can take a look at the Netherlands and see how the Netherlands has mandated that nitrogen fertilizers no longer be used. They have gone throughout the farms of the Netherlands and confiscated most of the livestock, because the livestock is a bad thing. Raising animals for meat is a bad thing. Not because the meat is harmful for you to consume, but because the animal itself creates methane, and that's destroying the world. CO2 gases are bad for the world. That's not what I learned in my science class in school, that CO2 gas was a bad, bad thing. Carbon monoxide, but not CO2 gases. We'll talk about that more.
Isn't that why God gave us trees?
God gave us trees. God gave us plants. Every plant in the world.
Isn't that the natural scrubber?
It absorbs it and turns it to oxygen. Exactly. It is the natural scrubber. What is the other big lie that we're being told? Folks, climate change, global warming. Now, I'm going to clarify this, Pastor Kurt. I believe that there is a climate change happening. We can see it. Okay, we're living in a period where the climate is changing. It happens all the time. It has happened all through history where the climate warms and it cools. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You better listen to me on this one. You'd much rather have a warm world, even a hot world, than you want a cold, frozen world. You do not want that. More people die from cold than they do from heat. Cold, plants don't grow. Food doesn't grow. Animals die in the cold. When you have warm weather, animals grow. Animals can be fed. Crops grow. The world populates and carries on. World population, they're trying to tell us that we have to be concerned about world population. Too many people in the world. But if you look at the census of the world, various countries around the world is regressing in population.
Yeah, childbirth is at an all-time low.
All over the world. It's horrible. And now, what are we doing? Save the world, go green. We have to get rid of fossil fuels. Everything that you're hearing is a ploy of communism being worked against you. Are electric cars a good thing? They could be a good thing. You know, I got to tell you, it takes me 35 minutes to go from my home south of San Antonio to my office. It takes me 35 minutes. It's about 35 miles, you know. Could I use an electric car for that? Yeah, I could use an electric car for that. I can see how that could be beneficial. Can I get in that electric car and go from here to Fort Stockton, Texas, or to El Paso without stopping and spending the night? No, the electric car won't make it. And when I stop to recharge that electric car, how long is it going to take? 6 to 12 hours. So I could take a cup of home, and where are they going to get the electricity from? Again, it's another communist lie. And what is the purpose of it? The purpose of it is for control and to create a new religion of the earth. And the new religion of the earth is to worship the earth, protect the earth, save the earth. The earth is dying, and you have just a few short years to save it, or you're all going to be dead. Pastor Kurt?
Well, it's the worship of the world. It's the worship of the world. But really, again, you said it earlier, who's in control of this world?
Yeah.
Right now, it's Satan.
Yeah.
Not for much longer. And that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this increase come at such a level right now. And it's growing, and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, because Satan knows his days are numbered. He knows his days are numbered. But it's about deceit, and it's about destroying as much of humanity as he possibly can. And we have to understand that, you know, you talked about electric cars, but, you know, the petroleum that we have is a gift from God. It came from God. He gave it to us.
That's right.
He created it for us to be able to use it.
It isn't an accident, and it's not an obscure find. It is created by God for us to be able to use for our benefit.
Absolutely. So again, it's about getting us away from everything that God created, including us, ultimately, because they want to control population. They want to be able to decide who lives and who dies. And we're seeing that in many, many places across the world right now. And so it's good that we're bringing this up, because ultimately, if you understand communism, you understand that it is the work of Satan and Satan alone. And how does all of that happen? Well, we've talked about it. Again, Paul gives us the greatest description of it in Romans, the first chapter of Romans, verse 18 through 32, where he's describing that exactly what you said, Lance, that every human being on the planet knows that there is a God. He's instilled it into us to know that there is a God. But ultimately, because we would not worship him, we've exchanged the truth for a lie. Now, I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about the rest of the world. Exchanging the truth for a lie. And this has been Satan's key point of being able to have the destruction that we have. We're going to take this break. God bless you. We'll be right back. I like where you went with that. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Okay, we're coming up on the second half hour with the 10-minute segment in 20 seconds. Give us a countdown of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The God Family Country Show on KTSA 550. I'm Lance Hoppus, Pastor Kurt. Here is in studio with me. We're talking about the face of Satan and the works of Satan. We have to be perfectly clear that everybody understands that demons exist. Demons aren't the little googly gobbins run around out there in fairy tales. Demons exist. Demons are the workers of Satan. They're his workers. They do his work. They do his bidding. Demons, if you're not Christian, not blessed with the Holy Spirit, demons can invade you. They can guide you in different directions, lead you, change who you are, your personality, or they can also do other things by just working in areas against us. You know, I saw the other night, last week, I was watching Tucker Carlson, and I was watching the videotapes of January 6th. And then the next day, I saw Senator Schumer come out and twisted everything, pleaded with everybody to understand that Tucker Carlson told a lie, that what you saw on TV was not the truth. What you saw, those videotapes on Tucker Carlson were a lie. They weren't true. That's not what happened at all. Now, I'm going to preface this with something Pastor Kurt and I talked about. I told you, I said, I understand. I only saw a few minutes of thousands of hours. I would like to know what the other hours said, but I know what I saw was not a lie, because that was actually what was taking place at that time that was given to us to be able to view at that time. Mm-hmm. There was no lie there. That was the truth. So for somebody, one of our lead gets me stuttering. One of our lead politicians, Senator Schumer, and then who followed him? McConnell. Well, telling us that what we saw was a lie. The distortion of a lie from the truth and the truth to a lie.
Well, again, I want to read this because This is what, you know, when we say something like this, that every person on the planet knows that there is a God and they've exchanged the truth for a lie, we should back it up. And I'll just read from Romans 1, starting at verse 18. Paul tells us that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them. Right there. What may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to their uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this very reason, God gave them up to their vile passions. For even their women exchanged their natural uses for what was against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty for the error which is due. And even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You know, we've talked about it before, Lance. When God turns you over to a debased mind, there's no coming back from that. There's no revelation that comes to them. They are fixed forever. And then Paul goes on to says this, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy and murder and strife and deceit, evil-mindedness, they are all whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Right there, in all of that, this is what we're seeing. This is the exchange of the truth of God for a lie. And all of these things that were just mentioned in those scriptures is exactly where we are today. This is the description of the depravity of man. And yet, nobody seems to recognize it. They seem to just accept it and just say, well, you know, that's just who they are. We're going to accept them. We're going to bring them into the fold. And this is what's happening. You're talking about the January 6th. Yes, Schumer was lying. We know that he was. For them to come out and scream to say that, you know, don't pay any attention to these things, you know, is the surefire way of telling you, because you know the truth, when you tell the truth, you don't really need anything to back it up. You can use the word of God, which is all truth, but a lie. You go against a lie and you find yourself in quite a pickle.
I can find nowhere in my scriptures where it professes or teaches racism.
Absolutely not.
I can find nowhere in my scriptures where it teaches me to be hateful and to not love my fellow neighbor as I love myself. Nowhere. Nowhere in scripture does it teach against that. But yet this woman in the Communist Manifesto teaches you, wishes to teach, that revolution has to involve violence. Why? They're saying now to teach anti-racism and to teach people to be kind. There's nothing kind in revolution involves violence. Where's the kindness there? Where's the kindness? Where's the temperance? Where's the patience there? This all comes right straight from Karl Marx out of his manifesto.
Sure.
In his manifesto, denounces God.
Well, and this lady you're mentioning again is a middle school teacher, and she's teaching this to the kids. She's created a bunch of things on TikTok, of which now have come down. But the fact of the matter is she's spewing this untruth, this lie about what communism is.
So we have to take and wind that back a little bit. Where did she get that from? Where did she learn that?
Well,
she
went to the universities, and we'll get to the universities in a second. But again, she has exchanged the truth of God's word for a complete and total lie.
Totally lie.
And we did talk about the universities quite a few episodes ago on our show. We know when communism first came into the universities, it was 1919. Where they went into, believe it or not, the seminaries of the day, the Ivy League schools, they were all seminaries back then, and they were run by Christians that were presidents of the university. They creeped it in. I'll never forget the person, Jim Simpson. We had him on the show. You remember that? where, you know, I asked him the question, I go, well, where were the Christian presidents, you know, shutting these things down for what they were teaching? And remember he laughed.
Yep.
And he says, I'm not laughing at you, Pastor. He says, I just want you to understand it's the same problem we face today. He says, they didn't want the confrontation, so they allowed it to happen, hoping that the next generation would take care of it. Well, guess what? They didn't. And the generation after that did not take care of
right.
it. And this is where we have today this spew of communism in our universities that have polluted the minds of kids in believing the lie.
This all goes back to a group of people that called the CFR, Council for Foreign Relations. The Council for Foreign Relations has in it the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rothschild Foundation, the House of Rothschild out of England, Carnegie's, the Morgans, J.P. Morgan, the House of Morgan. And the Rockefeller Foundation is the one that started funding the teaching of what you were just talking about in the seminaries, the anti-God in the seminaries. And how they do that? They did it by funding the seminaries. This is what you're going to teach. This is how you're going to do it. There is no God. You're not going to talk about a God. You're going to not talk about that. They're not going to talk about salvation or Jesus Christ. And they've been very successful with it. And
boy, have they.
And unfortunately, that foundation and the CFR is the same group that falls into the group of communism. The wealthiest people in the world, the wealthiest families in the world, wealthier than the ones that are trying to crank up this ESG, wealthier than Klaus Schwab, wealthier than Bill Gates. This is hundreds of years of wealth in these families, and they hold the world in their grip, and their thought and concept is no free minds, no free markets, no freedom whatsoever. They love the concept of communism, no religion. The religion has to be the government and Mother Earth. Why? Because all competition must be destroyed. It has to be destroyed. That's what's behind this. So, folks, it isn't an accident. They don't believe in God. They never did believe in God. They say that they don't believe in God. They state it. And you want to know more about that? Go to The Killing of Uncle Sam. It's a book.
And we'll talk more about that as soon as we come back. This is the God, Family, and Country Radio Show. God bless you. We'll be right back. Pretty strong stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty strong stuff. Okay. I don't know if you want to get into that yet, or if you've got more you want to cover.
We'll
go wherever you want to go.
We're in the last quarter of the first hour.
Right. We're the last 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Countdown. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The God Family Country Show. I'm Lance Hoppus, Pastor Kurt here in studio. We're talking about communism. We're talking about a lot of hard topics here. We're talking about God, where God stands in this. God stands outside of it, watching it. God knows this stuff is going to happen because he turned it over to Satan. This story reminds what we're talking about. Reminds me so much, Pastor Kurt, man's struggle in the world, good against evil, evil against good. It reminds me so much of the story in the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
God is allowing Satan to do what he wants to, except he just can't kill you. Now, I don't know if that's, Satan was not allowed to kill Job, but he was allowed to destroy everything around him.
Yeah, Satan came to God and he said to him, I've been, you know, going to and fro, you know, because Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. And he's been scouring the whole earth. He says, yeah, I know your servant, Job, that you've, you know, blessed him with so many wonderful things. I'm paraphrasing, but you've blessed him with all of these things. He says, I see that you have your hedges around him that I can't get to him. You know, let me at him. let me add him. I'll get him to profess me and not you. And God says exactly what you just said. You can do whatever you want to Job, but you can't kill him. And there embarks what some of the most evil things being done to a man on this planet, where Job ends up losing his family, ends up losing his all of his livestock, except for his wife. He lost all of his children. And even his wife turns on him and says, just curse God and die, right? Even his friends came up to him and said, you know, hey, what have you done? What have you done to upset God that would allow you to, you know, here's Job, who is a righteous man. He's been trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. And he's got his best friends coming up to him and says, you must have done something to God, right? And this is exactly what we see happening here. Satan cannot do anything without God's permission. And if you belong to God, if the Holy Spirit is in you, he can't touch you. He cannot touch you without the permission of God. But because the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's in you, he can't do anything to you. Oh, he can try to deceive. He can try all of those types of things, but he can't hurt you. He can't bring pain and suffering to you as a result. So this is the greatness of who our God is between those that God has chosen and elected, both in the what you see in the Jewish families and what we see also in the Christian families, that we are that wild olive branch that has been grafted into the family of God. We are part of the same family. And it's understanding that who we were before we came to God. Everything that I talked about in Romans 1, 18 through 32 is exactly who we were prior to having the Holy Spirit come upon us. The only thing that separates us from them is the grace of God, his grace and his mercy upon us.
That's right.
That is the only thing that separates us.
Yeah.
And to know that the incredible grace that's been given to us to live a life that's pleasing to him, although we all fall short of that glory, we pick ourselves up one day at a time, and we're becoming stronger and stronger in our faith, doing the things that God has commanded us to do. And that was to teach the gospel. And that's one of the things that we do here on the show, on the God, Family, and Country radio show, to teach the gospel of God. You know, one of the things that we have to understand about our salvation is our flesh. Our flesh does not care where we are going to spend eternity. Our flesh does not care whether you're going to be in heaven or whether you're going to be in hell. Why? Because your flesh is not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. It's not going to be in hell. So your flesh says, let's live, eat, and drink, and be merry, because we don't think tomorrow's coming, right? That's the way people are living their lives. And yet you see this main push here about bringing this lie of communism and what it represents about the freedoms. You and I were talking earlier, Lance, about people that have come into our country from other nations and have done things right and have come into our nations and become productive citizens of the United States. They will tell you, and they will tell you time and time again, you do not want to go down this road. This is what we left. We left communism for the very purpose of being able to have the blessings of what are here in the United States. And yet we see so many people in the United States that are embracing communism. That should not surprise us. The reason why it shouldn't surprise us is because God told us we shouldn't be surprised by it. He told us that broad is the way, and many that'll be lead to it, that'll lead them to destruction. Again, many, the word many in Hebrew means most. Most are going that way. Narrow is the path that God says, and few there will be that will see the kingdom of heaven. That's a remnant. That's a small number. And so we should not be surprised when we see all of these things going on. But But you are not surprised by it, Lance. I'm not surprised by it. A lot of our listeners that I know that are true believers out there, they're not surprised by all of it because why? They know the scriptures. They're not going to be fooled by the Antichrist. They're not going to be fooled by the false prophets. They're not going to be fooled by the things that Satan are putting forth because we know. And again, we know because we have taken the time to read our Bibles, to understand them as best we can, even though we don't understand everything perfectly. It is to bring them to us to an understanding and the incredible discernment that God has given to us to know right from wrong, to know evil from the love of God. And it's one of the greatest gifts that we could ever possibly receive. But, you know, the problem is today, Lance, people just do not believe that evil is ruling this planet. They do not believe it, even though the scriptures clearly tell us that that Satan is the ruler of this kingdom. He's ruling the world. He's going to and fro. He's got demons everywhere. The demons are broken up into different types of groups. There's the small demons and medium demons and large demons. Basically, they're broken up in everything from the little white lie to ruling and destroying nations. I mean, that's the gamut of what you see with demons. And they are making their way across the world, and they're doing everything they can to suck you into it. And we need to understand, no, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand firm on what my Bible tells me. I'm going to stand firm on what the Word of God says. And I'm not going to deviate from it, no matter what is going to happen. And it's about time that we stood boldly for the Word of God, understanding that there is a God, that there is a Creator, that every word in this book is the living, breathing Word of God. You don't read it as much as it reads you. And that's why a lot of people have a problem with this book, because once you start reading and find out what you are and find out what it means to be in salvation, and understanding the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you just don't see it. You don't look at it. This word is truth. It always will be truth. And I know you stand firm. I know I stand firm. I know a lot of our listeners are standing firm. But we need to recognize who Satan truly is.
You know, the human side of me wishes that I didn't see the truth, because it's painful. And it causes great concern over your welfare, over the safety of yourself, causes wealth, because in seeing the truth. But the side of me, the part of me, my spirit, my soul, the part of me that the Holy Spirit has control of and protects, tells me that I have to pay attention to the truth. You have to keep your eyes open.
You have to endure.
You have to endure. And this woman, this teacher, she's a needle in the haystack to the number of people in the United States and throughout the world that believe this garbage, that believe this lie that Satan has given them. But where did she get it from? She got it from the university. She got it from where she was schooled to be a teacher. So I'm just going to say to you, flat out, you love your children. You're struggling real hard to put them into college so they can have a better life. Well, you go right ahead and do that if you want to destroy your family. You go right ahead and do that if you want your children to turn from God. You go right ahead, because that's what they're teaching in the university. They are teaching the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching that to your children. And when they come out of that university, they are changed. I see it in my family. I see it in clients that come to my office. We sit and talk to, I hear about their children, what happens when they come out of universities. It changes them. And that's how this got started in the United States, was through the universities, which came out of the University of Frankfurt.
It was a mechanism
that
Satan was using through the universities. If you can destroy the mind early, you got them. And so, but there's many, many different ways in which Satan is deceiving. We see it in nations. You know, look at communist China. Look what's taking place with them. They just brokered a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Now, Saudi Arabia never really been a friend of Israel, but certainly they had good relationships. This is going to destroy this deal. What most people don't know is that Saudi Arabia was running military missions right side by side with Israel, and they were doing it. They were bombing in Syria, doing these things. It was unimaginable, but now all of that is turning away, and Israel's found themselves in a very difficult place. Look what happened to the United States this last week. You know, we had a drone that somewhere is in the neighborhood between $32 million and $50 million, some were reporting, that Russian jets not only first started to spray fuel on that drone, but ultimately hit the propeller and brought it down. I mean, things are escalating.
They fired on the drone.
Well, they didn't fire on it. Their jet actually hit the drone. It actually hit it with the propeller. In fact, they show you in the pictures where the propeller was actually bent and ultimately brought it down. Now, the United States says that they were able to take all of the information on there and destroy it before it hit the water. But right, at least last time I heard, the Russian ships were down there trying to find that drone so they could get as much information out of it as they could. Things are escalating. Things are not getting better is what I'm trying to say. They're getting much, much worse.
So we have a lot to talk about when we come back. We're coming up to a break in about a minute and a half. But we have to realize, it's important that we realize that this coming together of Russia and China right now is not happenstance, and it isn't something that just popped out of the clear blue sky. Before World War II, Russia was supporting China and helping China. World War II comes around, China steps up and helps Russia. We get through World War II, you go to Vietnam, Russia and China were in Vietnam. Russia and China, that's who we were fighting in Vietnam. We were fighting Russia and China. And now what have they done? They've separated again after World War II. They moved apart. You had Korea come about. China was in Korea. Russia was standing on the outside, helping supply them with arms. Now we're out of Korea. What do you have? You had Vietnam. That took place. And now what do we have? It looked like Russia and China were at odds with one another several years ago. And suddenly they've joined hands. And they've joined hands against the United States, and they're making a pact with Iran, and now they're making a pact with Saudi Arabia, who had become through the Trump presidency a friend to Israel, and now they're being turned away.
And North Korea, by the way.
Well, North Korea is always there.
You know, George Bush used to say the axis of evil. I think he was the one that first brought that up. But the axis of evil now is China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. These are all countries that want to destroy us.
Yep.
They want to destroy Israel, and they want to destroy the United States.
And people want to bring communism into your schools and into your homes. Problem.
Very big problem. God bless you. We're going to take a break. This is the God, Family, and Country Radio Show. We'll be right back.
There's an hour. Yeah, we're going to go into this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. When we get to these names, I only had one copy, but we'll split them up because there's a lot there to look at.
Well, we're going to make them conversational.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, 10 seconds to start the second hour. 6, 5... 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wow, that went fast. The God, Family, Country Show. We're back. You know, this is a two-hour program, and we don't monkey around on this program. We want to talk about the hard problems that are facing you you at home. Mm-hmm. We don't want to talk about the problems that face you. Did you get that? Yeah. Because the questions that have to be coming into your mind, we want to talk about and face the problems and bring them up of what you may see when you're sitting in your home in the evening and you flip on Fox News, or you happen to fall on C-SPAN or CNN or MSNBC, and you start hearing all the lies coming out, and then you hear what your government is up to. We want to bring those things to you and tie it together what it means in God's word. We've been talking about communism. Communism is spread throughout the world. It's throughout the United States now. It has ugly tentacles and hands are all around us. And there's many, many people who believe the tenets of communism. The idea of having social justice is a communist philosophy. There's no justice in that. To have environmental justice, how do you get environmental justice? I heard somebody say the other day, a congresswoman, she said this, she was videoed and they showed it on the news clip, said that the weather is racist.
The weather is racist.
The effects of the environment, well, why not? Was racist and has racist implications to it because of the way that people, black, brown, and of color, are forced to live. I'm going like, God, my goodness gracious, what a twisted head that is. So we're talking about these things. There's only two forces in the world, the forces of God and the forces of Satan. God's forces are good, evil, are good against evil, and righteousness, grace, and mercy.
Right.
And to know, recognize, and realize the truth, and to only speak the truth. Satan is misery, death, confusion, disease, war, pestilence, and lies. One lie after another. Pastor Kurt put together an interesting thing. It's called the metaphysical understanding of the devil. This is important because, you know, Pastor Kurt, you and I have been talking on this show for the past several months. Well, it goes way back into last year. We've been talking about, do you know God? Do you know the attributes of God? We've been talking about God's attributes. We've been talking about the attributes of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about what all that means. Well, that's well and good, but who's the enemy? How do you fight your enemy if you don't know who your enemy is or what your enemy is?
Right. Absolutely.
So we've been talking about Satan, the metaphysical understanding of the devil. And right here, to lead out, the literal meaning of the term metaphysics is that which is safer or beyond physics, is after or beyond physics. Metaphysics is concerned with what is ultimately real beyond experience. Who is Satan? Who is Satan? First, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, Revelations 12, 9 through 10. He is the adversary in verb form. His name means to accuse.
Yeah, yeah. This is who he is. It's about accusing. It's about deceiving. And we're going to get into all of this. But, you know, the idea of a metaphysical and using that word, you're right. It was ultimately what is real beyond experience, you know, for that understanding. And there's a lot of people that don't believe that there is a devil. I'm telling you, that's a lie straight from Satan himself. He's alive and he is well, and he is the ruler of this kingdom for right now. And when I say this kingdom, I'm talking about the entire earth. It's coming to an end. You said that Jesus is going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives, and when those Mount of Olives split, he's going to rule and reign forevermore. But now it is Satan that is running everything that's going on, and he's in control. Now, the church, which is the body, the bride of Christ, the elect, is the very one that is supposed to be speaking up against all of these things. It's not just about teaching. It's about letting you know, no, this is a very real thing that we need to be concerned with. And Satan isn't the accuser. He's a constant accuser. And we're seeing it absolutely everywhere. We see that Satan is the deceiver. When he lies, he speaks in his native language. That's his native language, is to lie. He's the ruler of the world. His lies are nothing but bringing the false teachers that we see in the universities that we see today, the pundits that of pop culture that we're seeing up. You know, I've often said, Lance, societies change all the time, mostly for the worse, not for the better. But God's word never changes. God says, I am the same yesterday, I am the same today, and I'll be the same forevermore. And so God has given us his word so that we would know that what he has told us is absolute truth. But Satan is a deceiver. He's the one that's bringing in the secular educational establishments into a secular worldview. And I was talking about this earlier. Remember, I keep bringing up that Pew poll that came up not too long ago, that for pastors and ministers out there, that only 37% of pastors and ministers in the United States have a biblical worldview.
Right.
That is a very, very real problem. That means that the rest of the church is not hearing anything about prophecy. They're not hearing anything about this biblical worldview, about where things are truly going. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it like we've never seen before.
People sitting in the pews of many churches are not being given the truth because of that very reason, right?
Yeah.
There.
Satan employs those still to be subject to him. We see that in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and 1 John. He's telling us these things. The third thing about Satan is this: he's a tempter. He whispers. Did God really say? Mm-hmm. Is God really good? Does he really love you? I mean, Satan, not only is he the tempter, but he's a seductress. Satan is the seductress of the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, the 7th chapter, when you read about the crafty harlot, you're reading about Satan himself. Spiritual adultery is the expression of spiritual warfare. And we're seeing those things. It blows my mind that people are not paying more attention, especially the Christians. But again, when you have pastors and ministers that are not teaching a biblical worldview, this is what you get. You know, we were told by God that we are to teach the entire gospel. The entire gospel of God. Paul calls it the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's also the Old Testament. It's the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. How necessary it is for us to know who God is and to understand his attributes. That we serve a God that blesses and curses. That we serve a God that makes peace and causes calamity. That we serve a God that knows the end from the beginning, not from the beginning to the end. He knows, he's already been there. He knows what the end is. He knows how everything is going to take place. He's sovereign over all things. How important it is for us to understand the attributes of who our God is, Lance. And we've been talking about it. We've been sharing those things and bringing people up to speed on it. But we also have to know who this Satan is. And what it is he does. You brought up the book of Job. You want to find out who Satan really is? Watch and see, you know, go through and read the book of Job.
Yep.
And then see how he does. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to know that these types of things, not only did they happen, but they're happening still today.
To bring this into focus, the accuser. The accuser, he accuses you of anything and everything that he can to distort the truth. Okay, so let's try something that's applicable today. We have to get rid of fossil fuels. We have to put an end to the usage of fossil fuels because fossil fuels are bad for the world. This is what they're trying to teach and spread everywhere today.
And though God created it.
Although God created it, in certain places throughout the United States, they have already outlawed the usage and banning new gas stoves to be used. How ridiculous.
I heard about washing machines the other day.
I was just getting ready to say
when I heard that, I started laughing. I thought, you got to be kidding me.
No, washing machines, your lawnmower, you know, your weed eater, all this, and it has to go to a battery. if you, so people sit back and go, well, gee, but why? Because that fossil fuel, that's causing calamity throughout the world with the atmosphere. It's causing global warming is what they're going to tell you. It's causing the South Pole, the Antarctic and the Arctic for the glaciers to melt, and they're melting and the world is going to flood. Pastor Kurt and I always say this to each other. I don't see them raising seawalls around the border, around the shores of the United States to raise the docks of our ports or anything. Folks, the lie about solar, is solar a good thing? Is solar a bad thing? Solar could be an okay thing. I can get that. I can understand how that could be an okay thing, but it isn't the end all for everything.
No, it's not. It's not nearly
so,
ready.
So it isn't ready. The solar panels degrade over an 8 to 10 year period. They all have to be replaced.
Seven
years. The heads on these big windmills, that big head up there that's turning where the propeller's turning out of, takes 5,000 gallons of fuel per, and they have to constantly be changed out. And we're going to talk about more when we come back after this break.
That was good. I mean, really good stuff.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we got to be rustling some feathers out there somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure we are. Yeah. I had to go to Costco the other day, pick up a prescription. Walking out, you got to go past, you know, where they're selling stuff. Guy standing there, he said, sir, he said, you want to stop and talk to us about solar? I said, don't believe in solar. He says, what? I said, don't believe in solar. It doesn't work. Well, of course it works. Our science shows that it works. He went on and on. I said, no, when the clouds come and at nighttime, it doesn't work. That's what you have batteries for. I said, so where's the solar? Right? Are we ready? We're ready. The God fan. Clock got away from me. I was sitting here chit-chatting. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well,
so,
this is the God Family and Country Radio Show.
God Family Country yeah. Radio Show. Solar energy. Solar energy can be a good thing. If it really worked well, it could take the pressure off the power grid. And we all know the power grid needs to have some pressure taken off of it. I don't see a problem with that. But solar isn't the end all to all things. That isn't the fix. That's not the fix by any means. Wind energy does not work. It doesn't work. Closing down our nuclear plants is a bad thing. Closing down our gasoline power, our gasoline powered automobiles,
our
coal plants is a very bad thing. How fast do you want to go back into the 1800s? Huh? Do you remember this is South Texas. Do you remember the winter of 2021? Do you remember that? I remember it. People in Texas literally froze to death. They died because of the power. They didn't have power. The power grid went down. Windmills weren't generating electricity. Those solar panels weren't generating electricity. And guess what? Our power system went down. It went down and people froze to death. I remember having to carry wood from my wood pile to my fireplace. Thank goodness my wife and I've got a big fireplace. It works real, real well. We stayed warm in the house. But when the power went out, I lost my well. We're on a well. I lost my well. The well froze because the power went out. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I'm carrying water. Okay? We're having to figure out how to get... You understand, folks? Is that how you want to live? Is that how you want to live? Satan is telling the lie. And how's he telling the lie? He's telling the lie from your government leaders. That's how he's telling the lie and spreading it. And they're trying to tell you that science proves it. It's another lie. Science doesn't prove it to be true.
Yeah, we certainly found that out with COVID, didn't we?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We found out that the COVID thing was one of the biggest lies perpetrated on the world. But you try to tell people that, and they go, but I know people that died from it. I had family members that died from it. And my question in my head is, I don't ask them, but my question in my head is, did they really die of COVID? Did they die of a heart problem? Did they die of a respiratory problem that was already there? And did they die of something else? And it's been marked up as COVID. And the answer to that is Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And we knew this.
The numbers show it.
We knew this because we had a guest with us quite a bit during that time period, Dr. Larry Miller, one of the great doctors here in San Antonio, and called it exactly what it was. He talked about things like ivermectin. He talked about hydrochloroquine. These were all things now that we are, now all of a sudden, apparently science caught up with knowing that those things actually worked. Not for everybody, but for the majority, it did.
But the political system and the pharmaceutical system is trying to make that into a lie. They're trying to say that, and they're trying to sue people, take doctors' licenses from them because they saved lives with ivermectin and with hydroxychloroquine.
Well, with all the studies and everything that's coming out now and all the things that are being revealed with that, good luck with that because it's going to go absolutely nowhere. Again, it's about lies. It's about lies.
The vaccine wound up being a big lie. Didn't work.
No, look what it did to our children.
Caused major health problems with a lot of people. Read an article the other day, a young woman, 22 years old, beautiful, physically fit. And I mean that in a respectful way. She likes to fly planes. That's her side thing. She's been a pilot since she's 17 years old. Because she took the jab, she has myocarditis, whatever they call that thing, and something else. Her heart's in bad shape. She can't fly anymore.
Well, that happened to a lot of pilots, especially the ones that were mandated to take it.
Yep. So again, it's a lie. You have to be strong enough to stand against the lie. And remember, every single lie has a root and a beginning and a foundation. And it all starts with Satan.
Well, yeah. And isn't it also interesting that it came from China?
Satan.
There you go. That's exactly right. He manipulates and uses people, mm-hmm. You know, and it, we want to say that the leaders in China are good people, but they're not.
No.
They're as evil as the day is long.
Yeah. They're anti-God.
Well, they don't have any idea. Mm-mm. Any idea of who their creator is?
Nope.
Not a bit. So we've learned a couple things already. Satan, we know, is the accuser. His very name, the name Satan, the verb from it means to accuse. We know that he's a deceiver. We know that he speaks lies, that his lies are nothing more than his native tongue of how he speaks. We know that Satan is the tempter. He's the whisperer. He's the one that says, did God really say when he was speaking to
yes, sir.
Eve? Right. Remember that?
Yeah.
Is God really good? Does God really love you? We see this again. One of the great places to go is to Proverbs and go to the seventh proverb. Because it gives this incredible description of Satan. And so it's a good place for you to go look. The enemy, though, just tries to woo your heart all the time. He wants you to worship him. He urges us to take our whatever spiritual life that we have in Christ, and he wants us to desert it. He wants us to leave it and to not seek anything but his spiritual destruction. And again, how does that happen? It happens because those have exchanged the truth of God for a lie.
You know, Pastor Kurt, a man said to me one time, he said, if God is so good and you believe in God, and I said, yes, I do. If God is so good, why does he allow disease? Why does he allow hunger? Why does he allow one animal to kill another animal? Why does he allow murder if God is so good? Because if that's your God, I don't want any part of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, there's another lie.
It is. And a tough subject. I didn't think we were going to go down this road, but God is glorified and magnified through suffering. And it's a difficult subject, and I don't think we have the time to really go into it. I'm not going to put a whole lot into it. And we need to do a show on suffering and yeah. What it absolutely means. But he's in control of all things. And, you know, for us, again, our last breath here is in the immediate presence of him. So why is it that we fear death at any time or any place? Because we know that this is not it. We know that when we close our eyes for the last time, we'll be in his immediate presence. Those that belong to him, yep. Those that won't, will be sent. You know, the greatest place to go and look is in the book of Luke.
They're going to be in a real hot spot.
Where Jesus is giving us the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And again, I don't think, well, I'll take the time to go through it and I'll paraphrase it. Jesus is given this parable of this rich man who fared sumptuously and did a really incredible, you know, lavish life, had everything you could possibly want. And then he describes Lazarus, who is this beggar who's put at the fence of this, at the gate of this rich man. And it says that he would live off of the crumbs that the rich man was throwing away in the dumpster. Lazarus had sores all over his body. These sores were so bad that the only relief he could get was from the dogs coming to lick his wounds. And back in that day, just so you understand, first century, dogs were not a family pet. They were wild. But my point here is the way Jesus is describing this, that even the dogs had more compassion for Lazarus than this rich man. So the two men die at the exact same time. Lazarus dies, and he's immediately escorted by angels into the bosom of Abraham, which the bosom of Abraham is a description of paradise or heaven. And it says also that the rich man died, and he died, and he went straight to hell. Now, there's this great gulf fixed. There's this massive barrier that you can't cross from hell to heaven, and you can't get from heaven to hell. Not that you'd ever want to do that. But the rich man who is in hell is now looking afar off and can see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And Abraham begins to speak and converse with the rich man, because the rich man calls out and says, "Abraham, send Lazarus and let him dip his finger in the water that he may cool my tongue." And Abraham says, why would I take him out of the kingdom of heaven? You know, and it's often described by a lot of pastors, Lance, that a sinner in hell would do anything possible to be one sin less in their life.
Well, that's right.
To have some sort of moment of doing this. So basically, Abraham tells him, "No, you're not going to be able to do that." Then the rich man says, "Wait a minute. I've got five brothers, and they're not listening, and they're not getting it. Send Lazarus to them." Abraham says, "If they will not listen to the prophets, if they will not listen to the patriarchs of the Bible, if they won't do those things," he goes, "they will not listen to one rising from the dead," Jesus says. And therein lies the truth about heaven and hell. One was taken by angels and taken immediately into the presence of God, and the other, certain death, eternal death, eternal pain and suffering in hell. Both of those places are very real places. Jesus wouldn't have told us that if it were not true. And understanding this parable gives us this understanding that you can't get from one place to the other. You're not going to get to hell for a while and somehow find redemption and somehow be in the kingdom of heaven. You have to know who this Satan is, and you have to be ready for us. And as Christians, we need to be ready. We need to make sure that we have put on the full armor of God. And the full armor of God is understanding God's word. And we're going to get into that as we get into our next break, after our next break here. But there's a very clear understanding of what takes place with us the moment we take our last breath here. those that belong to God are in his immediate presence, where there is no more tears, no more suffering. Far better than being here. I'll never forget, Lance, I'll tell you real quickly, when my mother-in-law was passing away, we had hospice there. Some of the hospice people are some of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life.
Yes, they are.
I consider them angels-like.
Yep.
And you know, my mother was mother-in-law was no longer conscious, and the hospice woman was painting my mother-in-law's nails and painting her toes. And I said, "Why are you doing that?" She says, "Well, I'm preparing her. I'm preparing her for her visit with her Heavenly Father." And I said, "Wow." I said, "How awesome that is." She goes, "I know we can't see him, but there's an angel over there in that chair. Your mother-in-law doesn't have very much time, but she's about to be escorted away. They're so in tune with death and dealing with these issues all the time. They know. And it's very true. The same thing that was true for Lazarus is the same thing that's true for us as believers. Mm-hmm. That our last breath here is in the immediate presence, escorted by angels into the Heavenly Father's presence forever and forever. This is the God, Family, and Country Radio Show. Stay tuned. We've got a whole lot more for you. It's a pleasure. Lance and I just absolutely love doing this show. We hear from so many of you saying, keep up the good work and keep it coming. And we pray that you'll continue to let us know how we're doing and be able to share. You can always contact us on Facebook if you'd like to. You can go to the God Family Country Radio Show on Facebook. You can also go to thegodfamilycountryshow.com and be able to leave us a message there. This is the God Family and Country Radio Show right here on KTSA. God bless you. We'll be right back.
So are we going now into the second half hour?
We are.
So we're going to the first 10 minutes or first 15 minutes?
10 minutes and then 15 and we're done.
Okay.
And this is where we want to start focusing our attention for the Christian to understand how they need to be ready and what is required. And so we'll talk about this in Ephesians 6 and then also pick it up here with Ephesians 14 and then you and I can talk about that.
Oh, there's the other page.
Okay, we got 10 seconds to start the last half hour. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The God Family Country Radio Show. We're brought to you right now. You're listening to us being broadcast to you by my office and my wife's office, Big State Financial. We're financial advisors, and I want you to know something, that we try to pass this information on to our clients as they come into our office. But beware of what you're dealing with out here when you're dealing with your money and with your finances. Beware. And if you ever have any questions, you can very simply give us a call, 210-373-6000. If you'd like to talk to us, I also have another radio show that I do. It's every Saturday. My wife and I do it on right here on KTSA, KTSA 550, every single Saturday. It's a one-hour program. Starts at 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and we talk about how to protect your money from loss and have it continually gaining for you and have a guaranteed income for life. So give us a call, 210-373-6000.
You know, well, I just wanted to, you know, you were telling me before we started the show about how your phones and office was just blowing up last week.
Yeah.
And, of course, over the two banks that was down, SVB and also the Signature Bank. And so many people were sort of panicking. And we saw a couple things happen with that. We saw a lot of people thinking, well, the only place my money is really going to be safe is in these big five banks. In fact, Bank of America actually came out and said in the first 3 or 4 days after this event happened with these two banks that they increased their deposits by $15 billion. $15 billion. And I was asking you, I said, does that seem like a very smart move? And you had quite a few people had a lot of questions for you last week.
Yeah, people are concerned about the banks. And, you know, it isn't a problem that's new. There's nothing new about that problem. The situation with the SVB Bank, Silicon Valley Bank out of California, that was a whole different kettle of fish. The way that bank was managed, what they ran high-tech investments.
Wokeism?
They're way into wokeism.
ESG?
Way into ESG.
So was Signature, by the way.
Yes, and Signature Bank was too, and they were considered to be some of the best scoring companies that is in ESG, and they tanked. That's an interesting thing that you brought that up, because when you look at ESG, on the surface, it looks like, wow, okay, they're trying to take the world in a different direction. Yes, they are. And they're trying to do it on the presumption that if a company or a bank joins ESG, that you're going to make more money. Well, they're starting to prove now, they're going backwards, there's enough history on ESG, that many, many of the companies that have been involved in ESG are tanking.
Yeah, they lost their tails, didn't they?
Countries that have been involved in ESG are tanking. The Netherlands is tanking. Ghana is tanking. Sri Lanka is tanking. Chile went under because of ESG. South American countries are going under.
Spain and Italy.
Spain, Italy, going under
Argentina.
Because of ESG. Argentina. And you're going to see many states and governors in the United States that are pushing away from ESG. Okay? So be informed. ESG is the new form and the new face of Satan. And we don't want a part of it because it will take us back to the 1800s.
You bet. So, you know, Satan, we've been talking about him pretty much throughout the whole show. I hate doing that, but it's, at the same time, we need to have a better understanding of him. So what about the Christian? Well, Paul gives us the exact things that we need to do in Ephesians in the 6th chapter. And it's dealing with our enemy, which our enemy is Satan. It's he's giving us the battle plan, if you will, and the weapons and our strategy on how we are to live our lives. He says this, I'm going to pick it up at verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, that all by itself is amazing, and it should be the mantra of our life. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, we were talking earlier, Lance, about even, you know, Jesus told us that even the elect would be deceived. It's always bothered me. It's always bothered me to a great deal to try to understand why in the world, how in the world could that be that they would be deceived? But there are going to be the elect that have not prepared themselves, they're not ready, and have not done the things that they were supposed to do. You going to be okay over there?
I don't know about drowning myself. Took a drink of water and went down the guzzler.
That's not funny, I know. But why put on the armor of God? He tells us here in verses 4 through 14 of Ephesians. And he's telling us, he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Isn't that what we've been talking about?
Yeah.
Ephesians 6 and 14, Paul tells us, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. It's clear, Lance, for us as believers, when Paul is talking about putting on the armor of God, it's taking the Word of God and wrapping yourself in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly knowing the Word of God so that you're not deceived. Remember, Satan can't touch you. He can't do it. You know, I know many people use that line from Flip Wilson, "Oh, the devil made me do it." Well, they might have made you do it if you weren't a believer, but as a believer, that's impossible. It's impossible for him to touch you. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because the righteousness that you possess is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's impossible. He can't touch you. Even, you know, when Jesus faced the demons and called them, you know, called them, said, "Who are you?" And the demon says, "We are legion." They had seen Jesus away off, and Jesus was approaching them, and he says, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come before your appointed time?" Really incredible for us to understand that demons and Satan know when their time is up. That's why we're seeing everything happen at such a fever pitch. You and I have been talking about Israel, how important it is if you want to have a clear understanding of where we are in the last days. Keep your eyes focused on Israel. Here's what we're seeing. The demons know that their time is just about up, and they know when that time is, and they're doing everything they can to destroy humanity. Everything. And we need to know these things, and we need to be ready for them. And my prayer is that you're going to be able to do all of that. Because the one thing I want you to know and understand how important it is that our Lord and Savior, He bore our sins. They were nailed to the cross. We bear them no more in our lives. Christ triumphant in our stead. He took our place, and He disarmed the devil. Satan can't touch you without God allowing it to happen. And it won't, because the power of the Holy Spirit is in you. God bless you. This is the God Family and Country Radio Show. We'll be right back. Okay, 15 minutes. We've got this, unless you want to go in another direction. Actually, I'm going to pause that, Lance, for just a second. I got to use. Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm following you. Okay, let's get this going. Took a little break, Victor. We're at the 22nd mark to start the last 15 minutes. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
The God Family Country Radio Show on KTSA 550 on your dial. I got to coughing, spitting, and sputtering a little while ago, tried to take a drink of water and almost drowned. but my voice is back anyway and still drawing air. There are so many lies that are being told to us. And, you know, folks, here, I was just thinking when we went to this break, it is so critical that you take every lie being told to you. Well, first of all, identify where they're coming from. They're coming out of your government. They're coming out of the government. They're coming out of news sources that we watch on TV. They come out of news sources that you can see when you go to your social media. You see the lies on there. We have to understand that as those lies gain power and they gain traction, somebody's going to manage the outcome of those lies.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just going to be something that's going to go, well, they're going to do away, you know, with this, or they're going to do it, you know, okay, so they're not letting us use gas stoves in some parts of the country, or they're, you know, they're going to be, wow, when I buy a washing machine, I sure hope mine lasts for a long time, because something's going to, they're doing away with some things in the washing machines to make them more energy efficient.
Which they told you, by the way, your clothes are not going to be clean.
Yes, that's what it said. You won't get your clothes clean.
Yeah, that and sounds like a wonderful time.
It's going to save on electricity and water. So we're back to a scrub board. But folks, somebody is going to be managing the outcome of all this. And that is the total purpose of all the lies. It's for individuals to gain power. If they can gain power, then they have control. Now, many of them think that they're going to be sitting at the top of the pile. They're going to be at the pinnacle up there. They're going to be at the very, very top because they support it. Uh-uh. Not going to happen. They're going to do the same thing with those people who come into power and think they're going to be there forever and ever. They're going to do the same thing with them that they do in communist China. They're going to do away with those people. Same thing they did with them in Stalinist Russia. They're going to whack every single one of them. Do you know that Stalin executed every single one of his generals after World War II, except for one. And then he finally did away with that one. You know why he did away with them?
Tell me.
Because the people looked up to those generals. He didn't want anybody looking up to anybody but him.
Oh, yeah. They become gods, don't they?
Yeah. And, you know, any other authority out there became a threat to him. So we have to remember that. Why are they doing this? Why are they trying to push this to us, push all that stuff to us? Why are they telling us all these lies about global warming, climate change? You know, folks, they're doing it because they want control and power. Remember that the windmills have been almost put completely out of business in Europe. They're not making, many countries aren't taking those windmills anymore. As a matter of fact, many of the countries are shutting them down.
Mm-hmm.
They're shutting them down because they're dangerous. That big head standing up there at the top of that mast, as you've said, in which research shows, it takes up to 5,000 gallons of oil and they catch on fire. You know, and the electricity that comes from them.
Completely green.
So, you know, and the battery thing, started talking about the battery thing a minute ago, and I want to go back to it. These batteries, I don't care if it's a battery that's going to go in your weed eater, a battery that's going to go in your battery powered lawnmower. My wife came home with one of those one day, and yeah, it works okay. But here's the problem. It's the materials in that battery that make that battery work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're talking about human rights, and we're talking about a clean world and a clean climate.
Well, wait a minute. The left doesn't want you to know that.
No, they don't want you to know
you
this at all.
You're not supposed to have this information, Lance.
No, you're not supposed to have it because they try not to show it.
But what's happening?
Well, so Tucker Carlson showed a clip. Jesse Waters showed the clip on Fox News. The same clip, a little bit different pictures of it. The mines in the Congo where the cobalt is coming out of, they look like giant slime pits to me. Thousands of people, the poorest on earth, in their shoulder to back to stomach, been in hardly any room to move.
Children,
old people, everybody. I mean, thousands of them in there mining these rocks out of there and breaking rocks with rocks to look for the cobalt.
That's the only tool they have.
Exactly.
Is you break a rock with a rock.
Yep.
All day long.
Yeah.
Hour after hour.
And hope that you can find some cobalt or some lithium.
Where's the human rights folks on that one?
Well, because who is it to get?
Have they been asked to stay away so that they, you know, so that this whole master plan can just go out of the way? We'll just let them go.
Well, who is it that's cornered the market on the lithium and the cobalt? China.
Right.
And but yet it's being marketed through our system as a good thing. There is nothing good about that battery that's going to go in your car. People die to put that battery into that car, and that battery will not last. When that battery runs out, it's going to cost you $50,000 to $60,000 to replace it. That takes the value of that automobile into absolutely oblivion.
Well, you can replace the battery somewhere between on the low end of $16,000 to $18,000, up to a high end, from what I'm understanding on some of the newer ones that are coming out, will be up there close to $30,000 to $35,000 just to replace the battery.
I had read that they were running $50,000 to $60,000. So let's go to your side of it. Okay. Even so, if that's the case, what does that do to the value of the automobile?
It becomes a paperweight until you put a new battery in it.
So there's a plan for that.
Oh, really?
Yes, there is.
I want to hear it.
The ultimate plan is that you will not own your automobile. You'll lease the automobile. You're going to rent that car.
Ah.
It's going to be leased to you, and all the vehicles on the road will be leased.
I see.
And you'll never have ownership of it. You will perpetually pay for it.
Gotcha. So you don't own anything anymore.
Don't owe anything anymore. You just take that car. The battery's dead. You go back in, hop in another one, go and keep paying, 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 paying. Huh.
So what if we want to take a family vacation and we want to go out to Southern California for just to hang out at the beach for a while?
I would suggest that you make sure that, how many people in your family? Four?
Well, it's just the two of us now. The kids are all gone.
That's not such a big problem because your bike rack's only going to be able to have to handle two bicycles on the back of it for backup.
For backup. Yeah, thanks. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah, if they're really going to go down that road, then everything else that we've been hearing about what they're going to do with the cars is being able to limit your miles and where you can go.
Yeah.
You're not
they
going
want to do that. They want to limit how far you can travel.
Yeah. So you decide you take a trip across the United States.
Yep.
I guess you're going to have to get special permission?
Probably would. Why would they want to limit your travel? Well, let's just think about that for a minute. If I can limit how far you're going to travel away from your community, and if I can keep you in your community, what does that mean you're going to do? You're going to spend dollars in your community. Hmm. You're going to spend your time in your community, your money in your community, and that way they can be able to monitor how well the community is doing now compared to how well they project it to do in the future. They can squeeze the dollar, they can grow the dollar, and all that will only work if they go to cryptocurrency, which they're wanting to do, which I'm very glad to see that bank that was a crypto bank went under.
Right.
Because now if you take and you look backwards, FTX, is that the
big? That was the big one that went down.
And what were they doing? They were financially supporting other crypto banks that had cratered.
Yeah.
And they were pumping money into those.
Along with the Democrats.
Yeah, with no vision of what the problem that they're causing. It's just like, let's print more money. And we can just print more money, and we can print more money. There's going to be an end result to that. And the end result of that is what we're already seeing. What we're seeing right now is rampant inflation and a serious recession coming this direction by the end of this summer.
Well, I think I shared it a couple of weeks ago. We had a we had a we've got a lot of work going on the freeway. We're not very far away from the freeway out on 1604. And they, by accident, cut the Wi-Fi line. And it affected everything. It affected not only where we live, but it affected the La Quintera Mall. And for almost 48 hours, they didn't have the ability to take credit cards. They were out of business. Yep. So if you're going to go to an electronic currency and you find yourself in a position where all of a sudden the power goes out and they can't take care of you and you've decided you're going to go to dinner and of course you're cashless, you don't have any cash on you anymore, you find yourself in quite a predicament.
Yeah, you'd be in a pickle.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and buy groceries because their machines aren't going to be working for the credit cards, the debit cards and such. You're not going to have cash to be able to buy goods in a grocery store because all they're going to be able to do is tell you, hey, the power's down, the internet is down, we can't do anything today. Well, but I need this. It doesn't matter.
You're going to have to wait.
Huh? You're going to have to wait. Yeah.
Right.
They're already showing the effects of this by tracking credit cards, tracking people buying guns and ammunition.
Right. Right.
Now they know who's buying guns, who's buying ammunition. Now they're saying, well, wait a minute. ATF has come out and said, wait a minute. We've been tracking this. We've been watching it because the credit card companies are giving us the information now. There's a lot of people that are buying all these guns that can't afford it. Well, now that could be a good thing because they can track, you know, people that are making straw purchases of guns, bad people buying a lot of guns for a lot of people. That could be a bad thing. But to know who's, see, we have a Second Amendment right. I have the right to buy any gun I want to buy if I can pay for it and if I'm willing to pay the licensing for it. I can buy any gun I want to buy in the state of Texas. I can own as many as I wish. And I can have as much ammunition in my home as I wish in the state of Texas. That in itself is the problem with what happened in Waco under Bill Clinton and Janet Reno. You know, they violated every First Amendment and Second Amendment right that those people had up there. And I'm not saying that those people in doing that stuff up there in Waco were right. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying our government had no business doing what it did in slaughtering all those people.
Lies, right?
Lies, lies, lies.
Deception.
More lies. Yep.
The accuser.
Yeah,
this is the ruler of this world currently.
Yeah,
but not for much longer. And
Christ is going to come back. That's his promise. He is coming. Don't count the hours. Don't count the days. Don't count the minutes or the seconds. Don't do that. Make sure that you know God. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ. Make sure of that. Make sure that your family members know who Jesus Christ is. If you've been chosen to follow the Lord and Jesus Christ, follow him. Pay attention. And when you know something is a lie, tell others that is a lie. I tell people come in my office because they bring the conversation up sometimes at our conference table. They'll bring it up, you know, this with the government, that with the government. And I go, oh, you realize that? And they go, well, yeah, I realize it. Are you telling your family about it? Are you telling your friends about it? Are you expressing this to everybody that you know? Mm-hmm. Well, no, not really. Why? Tell everybody. It has to be a conversation that rolls off the tip of our tongue.
Absolutely. Don't be deceived. Know what your Bible is telling you is truth. Know the biblical names of Satan, because there are many. In fact, there's a total of 26. There's the word Satan, which we've been talking about. There is the day star, which would definitely fool you. You'll see it in Isaiah 14 and 12. There's the morning, the son of the morning. You'll see that in Isaiah 14 and 12. There's the anointed cherub. You'll see that in Ezekiel 28 and 14. These are all names of Satan. There's the devil, the tempter, the ruler of demons, Beelzebub, the evil one, the enemy, liar, father of lies, murderer, rulers of this world. You'll see that in John 14 and 30, by the way. God of this age, evil, angels of light, rulers of authority of the air, adversaries, roaring lion. Believe it or not, roaring lion is used in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Angels of the abyss, dragon, the old serpent, deceiver of the whole world, accuser of God's people. These are all names of Satan. As you're reading your Bible, you'll see just how much he is talked about in the scriptures and how important it is that we know who he is and what he does, because that is going to help us to endure until the end, until our Lord and Savior comes back.
And we're going to continue this conversation in next week's show. Communism, how do you know it? What's going on? How is it affecting the world? How is it affecting you? God bless you. This is the God Family Country Show. Good night.
Yay, Victor, we did it.
Yeah, I know, as I'm going through, I'm like, please don't mess up screen. Please don't mess up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really,
you know,
into it.
It has never happened before.
And, yeah, and I noticed that this link was perfect.
Yeah, yeah, this link worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I appreciate it, Victor. Hey, send You're that welcome. To me whenever you get the chance, okay?
Okay, yeah, I would download it right now.
Okay, all right. Well, okay. Appreciate you very much.
You got it. You guys okay. Have a good weekend.
You too. God bless you.
Bye-bye.